Oh, well, I would have to set it up.
Yep. All right.
Okay. We're back. The committee is starting to gather here. And each one of us has now a Dominion binder in front of us to start looking at.
While we're pulling that up, if I could just remind folks that for the kind of message from people who've been listening, that while you're speaking, if you can make sure you use the mic so it carries over the airwaves for those who may be listening remotely. Thanks.
Connie?
I did notice that on there, on page 6, they did mention that they could do the risk limiting audit.
I don't think your mic is on. There you go.
Thank you. On page 6, I noticed that they would be able to do the audit mark with the risk limiting audit, which the state is going to require as of 2017. So that's one of on our little checklist. That's one that we can mark off that we know is according to their requirements they would be able to do.
That's one when we view it, we ought to ask to see the process and look at that.
I think the fact that it's already certified definitely speaks in a positive step, given those long lead times that we heard at the beginning of the meeting to get something certified. That's certainly a positive thing in its favor.
And the other thing I noticed is they are putting it in the state of New Mexico currently. So as that process in the next, I don't know when it actually will be delivered, but that would be something for us to really watch.
They're beginning to roll this out in New Mexico now, and the two secretaries of states from our state and theirs discussed this at a meeting, and then directed staff to talk to one another, and we're kind of following what their experience is there.
Great.
Do you have anything, and this is Deb Gardner, do you have anything to add about that at this point, Al? I mean, do you have anything to report?
No.
Okay. I had a question. They also are in some counties here in Colorado. How many and who do we know?
Well, El Paso is one of them.
And I know Denver is one of them.
Pueblo is one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, Pueblo does actually.
And
I thought El Paso was
Arapaho. Several of our larger counties,
Let me rephrase. We are one of those that likes the system proposal. Let me rephrase that slightly differently. There are lots of iterations over the years in terms of, so
do we know how many counties really are in on Dominion? Do you know? We had a map at one point of, I remember looking at, of which systems were in which counties on the
it's actually
website.
Sitting in someone's office here.
I have it at home. However, I don't know that it's been updated, because I think I just recently heard that we have Sawatch and another county on ESNS, so that makes four. Okay. All right, we're going to look for that map while we continue on.
It's mainly our large counties that have it, Arapahoe.
Well, I think Denver. Large counties have the other three.
Yeah.
You know, Hart, they're, Boulder's the only large county on Hart, and then all the small counties are on Hart. And then the other large ones are split up between the other vendors. Yeah.
It's Douglas County also has Hart.
Douglas has Hart?
Yes.
Douglas has Hart, okay. Yeah. That was one of the issues in the litigation over the primary.
Okay.
Thing I noticed about Dominion is they also have off-the-shelf products that are in their system. Again, that can be bad. That can be good.
I noticed that, especially they mentioned, I noticed printers,
scanners,
yeah. Things like that, so it'd make it more reasonable to, if something happened or likelihood that you could get it.
Taken care of locally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. The other thing that I liked about the Dominion is that it moves in a way of the full-blown auditing. Like, from what I understood from a demo that I watched recently, the ballot is scanned, and then it immediately is, once you've counted it, followed in the records by a log that says where the vote, or, you know, where the system recognized the vote to be. So it had an audit trail with each ballot as it was scanned into the system. So that was interesting to me.
I read that as well, and I thought, well, that's really interesting. And then wondered what you would think from technical standpoint, but it seemed like you would never have to kind of second guess, kind of infer how somebody had counted it, because you'd know right there how it was interpreted
by the equipment.
By the equipment, and you could see it right there.
We have a huge map.
I have the map, but and the person who created it.
Told you it was around.
But this is by system, not necessarily by vendors supporting the system.
Oh.
But yes, it does support some of the same
previous
systems that he does. So Christy can answer your questions.
And is it Alamosa that just recently got some ESNS equipment?
Yeah, Alamosa
could use both.
Split onto different vendors, and they were having to use a spreadsheet, so basically merge the results from the ERNs and paper printers and it got the same thing. So it's been pretty tall.
Okay. So I think our original question was how many are on Dominion or Sequoia?
And I'm
assuming we're broadcasting. We don't know that. And because the who supports counties really isn't submitted to our office, and there are some counties that don't have a contract with a particular vendor. They've purchased the equipment, and they're largely self-supporting. And when they need service, they will contract with somebody. And I don't want to name names, but I know of a very specific, actually pretty large county that does this in northern Colorado. So we don't know what the status of a contract or who provides their services. You can kind of gather that from this. Obviously, you know, Hart's going to be supporting all the green counties because that's Hart. But with ESNS and Dominion, it can go back and forth. And counties can even work with Dominion 1 year and ESNS another if they choose to do so.
Hmm. Interesting.
Erin's here from ESNS. I don't know if she has anything. That would help narrow it down.
And I think what Erin just shared was that there, Alamosa, just for the record, Alamosa and Sawatch both went to an ESNS system recently from a mixed system. So there looks like there's, well, there's more than four counties on ESNS because there are older systems that are supported by ESNS as well. And for Dominion, I guess that would be the same.
Yeah, I think that is.
Sequoia, there's older versions of Sequoia equipment out there that are today supported by Dominion. But in any case, no county has what's in this proposal.
I'll leave this with you guys. Wayne pointed out to me that I need to update this map, so that's important. This was just correct. The wall in my office, I was like, hey, look at that. So if you guys want one like this for future meetings, please certainly do one that's not the same. There are a couple of reports.
You know, I think Christy was offering that map to the committee, and I think that would be really helpful because then we could talk to different counties about their experiences with the vendors and their older systems as we review things.
And I'll work with Christy and her staff to see if we can get it not by system but by vendor before your next meeting. At least the list. We may not get the map done by then.
Sure.
Deb? So this is Deb. Was from a historical point of view, again, kind of looking at this map, then, so Dominion has acquired Sequoia and Premier and Diebold?
There's, ESNS acquired some of the Diebold and Premier, right?
There was a court case.
Can you come to a mic?
You'll have to turn it off.
So with the former Premier system, it can be supported by either ESNS or Dominion. It's up to the county what they choose.
That was because of the court case.
Okay.
Yeah. And purchasing.
I do remember that. There was a court case that split the interest.
And ours is Premier supported by ESS.
Yours is from Premier.
So I guess, Deb, it depends.
Good. It's not clear.
Does any county, I'm looking at the labels there and I don't see Dominion listed, but there are some that use Dominion for support?
Yeah, yes. Al's saying yes.
The Sequoia counties. Arapahoe, Denver.
Okay.
Dominion really came in after they basically purchasing Sequoia and then the issue with Diebold. And both ESNS and Dominion are supporters of the old, what I call Diebold equipment. Is that halfway right?
Diebold/Premier?
Yeah, Diebold/Premier. Clear as mud.
I have heard good things about Dominion's support. So is there anybody here that currently is supported?
Wayne, you have Dominion supporting you?
No, ESNS is supporting us.
ESNS?
Just would be Deb when she comes back.
Okay, well, when Deb gets back, we'll ask her.
Back, we'll ask Deb.
Because it seemed like the in the RFP response, that seemed pretty thorough.
Yeah, Arapahoe also, I think, Dominion supports.
Yeah, and ours is GEMS, which was purchased by ESNS, and so mm-hmm. we have an interesting amalgamation of things. Because we're really cheap, so as long as it works, we keep using it.
Mm-hmm. Another thing this committee has batted around a bit.
Yes.
How long can we keep our current systems and call it an upgrade?
Well, and you see that with the different coordinations on there where you've got, you can see Premier AccuVote listed under three or four, at least four different categories on that map.
Mm-hmm. Those are old, older pieces of equipment.
I don't think there's anything wrong, though, with the clerks, if there is this equipment at the conference, to look at the equipment. That's not...
At least the clerks that are on this committee.
They're not discussing it, and they're not going out to dinner with the vendor. They're just observing it at the conference.
I guess that's a question for the legal folks, but I mean, I don't... Vendors are always at conferences. But as members of this committee that are charged with making the recommendations of the secretary, they're careful.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody on the phone heard that. Have you gotten any texts? I said I just didn't know if everybody on the phone heard what Al had to say was just that the
members sure of this... I'm sure they did not.
The members of this committee should be careful when we are with the vendors. And the concern came up because we will be at conference where the vendors will have equipment there being displayed, so that we are conscious of our role on this commission and advisory committee, not commission, advisory committee, and also currently reviewing RFPs.
Sometimes you may not see, some of the vendors may not bring it just to avoid any issue, too. Mm-hmm. That could be an issue. They could be there, but they may not bring that equipment. I don't know, but that has happened.
I appreciate that Dominion talks in and its RFP about issues that have been reported, and that they mostly relate to human error. As is our experience, as we work with voting systems quite often, they are usually the ones that are right and our hand count is wrong.
Yes, very true.
Or it's something that we have done or a button we didn't push. So it just seemed like an honest admission.
And I was looking at page 44 and 45. It was the pictures of the unit. One of them addresses the ADA accessibility. I know that was, Deb had concerns about that as well. And this addresses the ADA issues. And then I was looking at the size of the pieces of equipment, and it says that it is it's a tabulator, which features the interface, which you go basically from the ballot scanning and the internal ballot marking solutions. So in other words, it's a one-stop shopping, basically.
But the output, the paper, the ballot is in the same format on the output?
Yeah, that's what it looks like here from what I'm gathering.
It's paper. Cast their marked paper ballot through a customized visual interface. And so, I noticed it weighed 10 pounds. I was talking someplace, that's my memory, I haven't found it again right now, but it talked about the size of it.
Well, the size...
And it features a 19-inch display.
Right. Yeah, that's page of 10 pounds, yeah. The thing I noticed, though, I'm wondering how many pieces of equipment we would have to use. I mean, if, you know, because we're talking about mail ballots, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, you know, the size of these, it's very large.
Well, I think in this, for this piece that's being shown here, we're on these pages we're reviewing right now, my understanding is that is your one ADA compliant piece of equipment
and it's
per
small.
Location.
And
It's not small, but it is the... You only need one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, page 44.
Page 44.
I think they use the same piece of equipment for ADA and non-ADA.
Oh, okay.
So
Right.
But it's only one unit per location is necessary?
Well,
unless
it just depends.
You have a high volume.
Yeah. I mean, some people, like during, we have these things that are, they're not vote centers anymore, but our polling centers, you know, we certainly would have more than one of these. You know, I'm concerned about storage and the whole mm-hmm. works.
Why would you, I mean, because of the time that you would need to vote, do you think
right.
that you'd need,
yeah.
do you think there'd be that many people utilizing the ADA, or would you put people in booths with paper ballots?
Paper.
That's, again, it's going to be a business practice since we're moving more to mail ballot, perhaps. You know, we didn't ask that last question either about that, because maybe if we're just bringing everything back in to a central count, or are, you know, it's going to be the business practice of each one of these counties.
When I see a huge benefit to flush this out with our advisory committee and many other committees that are out there about the uniformity of the application of our voting system. So, you know, one of the things with 1303 is it did create a system where all counties theoretically are going to conduct the election the same. So this would
right.
be...
So that would be one thing that we really need to think about, is the actual pieces of equipment, you know, that are also involved, and mm-hmm. and what our final yeah. thing will be, since we all do want to be.
It sure definitely would be a lot more reasonable in a cost if you have the one for ADA and then you voted others on the paper, give them the paper ballot and let them vote right there and put it in the ballot box.
But then you have to bring it back to central count.
Mm-hmm. And this is a scanner.
And this is a scanner. So I'm just thinking about mm-hmm. slowing down the process.
Mm-hmm. What end do you slow it down?
Exactly. You know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's going to depend on how our numbers go, too, because
exactly.
if our numbers stay like they did this last election, no problemo, because our in-person voters were so low in
right.
number.
We almost need the next election under our belt, well, not the primary, but the next general under our belt before we really have a good feel about what our citizens are going to want to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think Deb had a comment.
I was just going to ask a question. So when I read this, do you think what it meant is that so then the person votes it and then they put it in the scanner themselves? Yeah, that's
yeah.
what it was trying to say. Okay. And then does it scans it, puts it on some electronic media, and then keeps the ballot in the machine there? Okay. Yeah.
That was my understanding as
okay.
well from the demo that I've seen. Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, that's very similar to what we do now. So in the presidential election at early voting sites, we did that. But because of our old system, we had to have four different batches of precincts and four different batches of machines because they couldn't handle memory-wise all of the different ballot styles we had in a county our size. But the advantage of that is it tells the voter at the time they submitted in, oh, we're counting you as having voted for four when you could only vote for three. And so it gives the voter the chance to say, hey, I want to spoil my ballot, get a new ballot because I overmarked this.
Mm-hmm.
The other way it happens is you just take in the ballot and you don't count that race that got overvoted, but the voter doesn't know that at the time they're
yeah.
casting their ballot, so they don't get to fix it if they didn't count right.
And that second chance voting is a part of federal HAVA, and the by in mail ballots, it's covered by voter education. And I think some of our central counties also just put up the posters on what an overvote is and what an undervote is and that kind of stuff to try to cover that for the in-person voter who may not get a second chance.
The federal law allows for that.
Mm-hmm. And then there are some counties that are set up with only DREs for in-person voting, as we've seen in our last set of numbers. So. But that's a good point, though, Connie. I mean, what's our setup going to look like?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That will be big on what we finally
decide on.
One of the things that I appreciated about Dominion is the central count machine is a pretty common piece of equipment, the scanner. Wasn't it? I mean, like, off-the-shelf type.
Yeah. And again, we talked about, so is that bad or good?
It is. I don't know. You know, it could be bad or it could be good.
It could be good, yeah. So maybe it just depends on,
the public
again.
Public likes it better. I mean, the people that are
the activists
and people who, when it's closed, I mean, that was one of the things years ago we went through at the EAC was the fight of having everything being, you know, underneath their own domain and not be a public, how things were taking place in the system.
Mm-hmm. It definitely counts slower than some of the other central counts that we have available to us. Mm-hmm.
Is that question? Because it's at 15, it said 15 per second, and is that faster or slower? It's slower than like what we have now, generally?
It's slower than the one that we run, but I don't know about others. However, it's creating a scanned image of the ballot and an audit log along with it. So
some of the others you have to scan it in then later.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to create an electronic file.
It's a second process. So it's you're gaining on this side and it'd be interesting to see what the technical people say about that.
And then on the warranty, it says...
what page is that?
And this is on page 68. It says the hardware is warranted against defects in materials and workmanship for a period of 1 year.
So the 1 year is the same.
1 year
so
is the same.
So the hardware, huh?
Right.
It was the other one Pacific, do you remember? We could look at that later.
These aren't the binders.
Is this yours?
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, we're just kind of looking through them and seeing if anybody notices anything in the Dominion.
Could we, but now that we've got Deb back, can you tell us your support experience with Dominion?
And I'm not prejudiced at all, but it's superior. And the reason, and I don't know if that's because we program all ours. I mean, we barely need support because I have the in-house staff. So when we do call, they know we're in trouble. I mean.
But they're responsive?
Very responsive.
Okay.
You know what that tells me, I mean, is they're responsive. They don't have day-to-day contract with her.
No.
But when they need her, they're there. So that's a plus.
You're right. I do not have a day-to-day contract.
Yeah, I think equipment may vary, but do people respond when you call them? Mm-hmm. Doesn't change just because there's a new system.
That's correct. Right.
So.
Right.
And I have an answer to that question on the heart. It says the Verity voting system is covered by a 1 year manufacturer's warranty.
So that would be about the same thing,
I would think.
It would be hardware and, you know, it'd be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Did you see things in this proposal, Deb, since you haven't had a chance to speak to it, that you thought should be brought up?
Well, I mean, the biggest one was, you know, the proprietary thing. It's not all proprietary. There are some propriety issues in their proposal, versus they do have some off-the-shelf
scanners and printers.
You can use, regular copy paper.
I like that. That was the one, I forgot about that, but I did like that because paper in some of these systems are very expensive, and you can use regular paper with this one.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know that it can't be used for the other system that we reviewed earlier either, though.
They didn't say.
Right.
They didn't say.
So that's another good question that we need to ask.
Some of the other stuff that we talked about before you came in is that it mentions in Dominion's RFP that they can comply with the risk living audit. They're certified. Mm-hmm. They do have off-the-shelf products, which was something that we were kind of looking at. The ADA equipment puts out the same format ballot, whether it's voted on the ADA piece of equipment or not. And and then the audit log. When this ballot gets scanned.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's right there. Mm-hmm. On what the piece of equipment saw. So if there's any question on how it counted that ballot, it prints it out for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did notice they also have an office in Colorado.
Yes, right downtown Denver.
Downtown Denver, Deb Abs.
One other item I would like to look at when we check the system is it said that there's no need to review, duplicate, or buy additional ballots. So, that would save a lot of time when you're duplicating. This is on page 8.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, it seems like it's a system that's kind of similar to Hart's electronic education. Or electronic
right.
Resolves.
Uh-huh, that's...
But if we say a plus for electronic resolves on Dominion, we have to do the same for Hart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they do it both.
I think we do. Uh-huh. And the new one does the same as the old Hart on, if I remember right, in Hart's.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back for a second. On Donetta's point, I just wanted to point out also they made a good pitch also that they think that, I'm not sure it's directly related to this, but the fact that they have a Colorado presence, and they mentioned that they could be hiring 20 more people for their Colorado operations, is a net positive, you know, to support mm-hmm. Colorado jobs.
And I do know that as far as Hart's concerned, we do have somebody based here in Colorado for Hart, so...
Well, they'd all have to gear up, definitely. I don't know to what extent, but they'd have to, they might only be here for 6 months or, you know, something, but when they bring in a system and train, they'd have to bring support. And usually that's what happens, is they're there for a while and then leave, but they're there if they need. That's something to ask each one of them.
One other item that I noticed, which we've had concerns and problems with, is, and they addressed it here on page 21, it's the static of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly affects election equipment. And they just said that they, that that has been an interesting challenge from their high static environments due to high altitudes and dry climates and whatever. Doesn't really say that they went into anything in particular how to address it other than they did it execute flawlessly. So I'm not sure how many other counties have that problem, but of course static has been very bad in our area.
Yeah, sometimes worse years than others for
right.
that, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just good that they acknowledge it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense. Did you find anything negative in that? Anybody? I was going to give one more positive that I was trying to think about. You know, just like the HART suite, the ESNS suite, the Dominion suite, I think all of the front-end programming has come a long way, and it looks a lot easier. So I think Dominion's description of how their ballot layout and, you know, all that works seemed to make a lot of sense to me as well. Anybody have any concerns, like Danetta asked, about Dominion's proposal?
Obviously, we think the 1 year is not enough, in our opinion, but...
Yeah. I mean, 1 year when you use something for a couple weeks is virtually no warranty at all.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's something that can be negotiated. I'm sure when we see their cost proposals, there's extended warranties available at a cost you know, it may be that we want to stand firm and say, nah, we need more, particularly if we're going to look at maybe going to some other kind of support in the future.
A lot of times they throw those extended warranties in their contract. Give it to you. So we need to be aware of that. And when we're contracting, it would be pretty hard-nosed.
Yeah, and we do have that on our list of things to think about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we didn't have as many concerns about the Dominion proposal then.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Connie?
I was just back to the speed.
That's
one thing which is going to be probably very important for especially the larger counties. So it needs to be one of our things addressed as well.
Yeah, if each individual unit isn't up to par with the speed that you need, then how many units would you need to get through the same process in a shorter period of time?
I was going to ask Deb about her training experience or experience with training with Dominion.
You know, I'm probably not the one to ask because they got the system prior to me coming on board. And so whatever training they had or got was done then. And, you know, since my tenure, we haven't had any, I mean, we've had upgrades. And yes, they've come out and they've been very diligent in terms of that type of training, but other than that.
That's it.
I just wanted to point out, I think it's an oversight, but as you look at their system requirements, H30 security, they did not put a response code in there. I suspect that it's an oversight because I think it's the only one where there was no response code, but they did put a comment in there. But as you're looking down the score sheet, if you see a zero there, that's why.
Last page.
Al, is that the 8.0 on sample project artifacts?
No, this is page 197. It's back in the system requirements, appendix B, okay. H.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Because I was noticing there wasn't anything on after page 111, and there was a limit of 30 pages there, and there was nothing past that on 8.0. So I was just curious if...
Yeah, the 197 text says for both the blanks, fully compliant.
Mm-hmm. Right. Both H28 and H30, and the text is similar for other ones where they've put in ones. I'm sure that's
what they were
a typo.
Mm-hmm. Connie, I don't know that any of us have found the spot that you're talking about.
It's on page 111.
111.
Just a sample project artifacts, and it says table of contents, sample project artifacts, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 listed. And then it just jumps to 9.0. I don't know if there's just something missing.
I think that there's something missing.
Is there?
Yeah, because I've got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I think what you printed out is various. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're in these binders, but maybe they didn't get in the printed documents on the web.
Or got shifted around somehow in the project when printed. So I was just curious. So thank you.
They're facing a different direction.
Aren't you almost done? Sounds like it. Is there any other compelling comments or issues you want to bring up? I think we've got a really good list of, from the two that we've reviewed so far, of the components that, this group is going to really be looking at. And so that when we plow through the others, that we'll be able to now look at, let's kind of narrow our review to these components, and we'll type them up, right, Al, and send them out to us. That'd be great.
We will, huh?
Yeah, we will, right, Al? So then that gives us some type of a gauge, and we can go from there. Anything else for the good of the order?
Oh, we need to decide January meetings.
Oh, January meetings. Aren't we done? just a thought, Sheila. When is it expected that we give our recommendation?
No, we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And basically, we'd like to be able to do demos in the second week of January.
Oh, okay.
And have a recommendation by the end of January.
This is Donetta. Is there any way we can do that? Possibly the first week in January?
I think excluding the second, because that causes travel over a holiday, which would be quite expensive and tough for a lot of us.
Right. I agree.
So you mean the first full week of January?
Yeah.
Because the first is a Wednesday.
And the reason why I say that is because legislation starts and you never know.
Okay. The issue there, I think, and it doesn't have to be an issue if we decide that we're going to invite all vendors who submitted, all 10, to demo. There was some talk earlier about may have filtered some out by that point, and we wouldn't need to have everybody demo. But in order to give them sufficient amount of time and get them scheduled, I think if that's what we want to do, we need to make the determination that we will provide each of them the opportunity, and we'll just have to make it work. Now, that's going to be a very, very long and busy week because we're going to have to give them each about 4 hours for a demo.
How is the week of the 13th? Yeah. We wanted to give a little bit more time.
Yeah, I'd like to get it before that previous week if we can, just to keep this thing moving to be able to to finish up all the pieces by the end of January.
Do you want to do it the week of the 6th?
Sure. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but...
So other than to see how the product works, will there be an evaluation of that also? Will that be a part of the evaluation criteria for the final?
It should be, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we all understood that.
Because they can write how it works, they can tell you how it works, but right. If you see it and it doesn't work that way, that's going to certainly be a factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that we also want to be respectful of the resources we're spending, and if there are people that we don't think answered appropriately or with not necessarily appropriately, but the way we want them to, we wouldn't want them to spend the time or our time.
Right, yeah.
When's the technical committee supposed to complete their review prior to the demos?
They're on the same kind of schedule. I've asked for it to be done by the early part of January, week of January.
So if they're going to finish their review by the first week of January in terms of scheduling folks for a demo, you can't do that the first week of January, too.
Right.
So...
unless we schedule everybody.
Well, and I think to Sheila's point, I agree. If there's someone that they look through and say, this isn't terribly helpful or this doesn't make sense to demo...
Well, I think we'll be able to get a sense of that in the next week because the way the technical evaluators are hitting this, they're going to have a pretty good idea, and they're hitting these big ones first.
Actually, not mine, but that's okay. He's done the five little ones.
Oh, did he?
I see the big ones. I mean, does it make sense then to go to the week of the 13th so that there's time to get those responses and decide who we want to come in?
Yeah, I think we can do that, but I think we need to give the vendors, I don't know, Aaron, how much time do you need to, if we tell you got a window sometime? Okay. I think that we can probably get the evaluations ahead of schedule. I think probably by the time people leave for Christmas week, we'll have that. So at your next meeting, I'll give a report on where the technical evaluations are.
Okay.
And if we're really moving along well, we can make that decision at that point. If we're moving slowly, then we'll probably have to push it out to the week of the 13th.
Well, if we're talking about blocking out several days, then we need to plan ahead of that for this group. And
right. And I mean, if it gets to be, you know, we're going to have, so that's 40 hours. If we have 10 vendors and they take 4 hours each, some of them, those smaller processes, I don't think will take that long. Some of the larger vendors, I don't know. What's your average demo, Aaron? What does it run? Yeah, a couple hours. But if we have questions,
we've got
thinking. Is you may want to have a subcommittee of this group visit the demos, or rotating. I don't know that everybody here can invest 40 hours, but I leave that to you. I'm just saying it's something you should consider. I'm going to be here. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, to be fair, I really hate I do too, and you do too. I mean, to be fair, I think that we need to see them all. I mean, the ones that are going to be, the ones that's decided that we need to see, I think the whole committee needs to see them.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So I guess that lands us at either the week of the 6th or the 13th?
I have three different conflicts the week of the 6th, and my vote's the week of the 13th, but that's just me. I don't know what other people's schedules look like.
Well, I guess I don't, I mean, my schedule keeps changing when I keep looking at my calendar, but the I guess what I'd be comfortable with, well, A, I'd make a commitment to be at everything I could, but then B, that if we had kind of a, or even if I had a specific list of things that, questions I had about a particular vendor, then I would trust that, you know, whoever was able to attend could ask that question and get the feedback on that.
Why don't you, I mean, my suggestion would is, Al, you just tell us, since, you know, our schedules are pretty crazy, what 3 days or 2 days you need from us, and then, you know, when you decide what vendors you want on those dates, you plug them in.
They just said 40 hours. That's...
I know, but...
Well, that would be
I was trying
10.
To be optimistic.
That's to look at all 10.
Yeah, so... thank you.
But anyway... I mean, that's what I guess what I would say. Then you technical people, you know, along with us, I mean, we're going to have ours probably, you know, shortly after the 18th, what we're going to, you know, probably want to see as demos. And so you guys are still doing the technical, but we've already got it on our calendar, and what you plug in on those hours is fine with me.
Would the committee consider going into the evenings to extend our days so that our trips are... Fuller.
Yeah, for those of us coming from out of town, I think it would be easier to do a little bit of that, spend the night here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't envision Sheila driving back to Grand Junction each night.
I would rather fill my evening while I'm here.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if we limit them to 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
4 minutes, 12 hours.
Or 2 15-hour days.
But remember, you got some setup and breakdown time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Can you? So one setting up while the other. I like that. I like that.
I like that idea too.
Let me work on.
I was going to say Al can tell us on the 18th.
Give us the dates now.
And for the ones that are doing fewer processes,
right.
They don't need the same length of time as the ones that are doing the whole gamut.
Right.
And I can talk to the vendors about how much time it
would. So,
what could you show us in 2 hours?
Right.
Or 2.5 hours?
But yeah, if you did 3 hours for the ones that the five systems that are big, and hour and a half for the smaller components, or an hour, depending on how big they are. But yeah, give us the dates now.
Give us the dates.
So you want us to do it?
So we pencil
in our systems,
in.
Yeah. Save the date.
Block out the week of the 13th.
I was going to say, what about kind of blocking that week out?
Block out the whole week.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 13th, 14th, 15th.
Just no thanks. Up to 16th.
You never know what the vendor's condition is on. We say this is going
to
work better than
my
friends.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
I think on the Monday through Wednesday.
The next fall meeting for the conference.
Okay.
Don't want to hold those on the calendar.
So Monday through Wednesday.
January 13th. Through 16th.
15th. Will you send an Outlook invite?
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep.
14th, 15th. It's those 3 days. 15th is the end of it, right?
Yep.
That was easy enough done.
That's right. Okay.
Cool. And then we're done?
We're done. Does that work? I mean, so everyone is clear. We have a meeting on the 18th, And we'll do ESNS and the other vendors, ClearBiolet, all of them. And
there's not the issue at the conference.
And then we have the 13th and 15th, 13th through the 15th for demos. Anything else we need to get on our calendars or have resolved today?
You will need to probably have convene a meeting to come up with a recommendation after the demos.
Oh, after the demos?
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to make a recommendation before, do you? Not much
more going. Oh, ow. Gosh, those details.
You'll have, at the demo time, you're going to have us and the technical people there. Mm-hmm. And will the committee be also there?
The public committee?
The public committee?
Yep.
So you'll have to figure out how and who and how to present questions, or the questions will get really...
My suggestion is that there be a powwow after the last one on the 15th with all the other groups there. I mean, I would prefer to have that discussion with all of them. I mean, we can still individually make our recommendations, but I would really like to hear what, you know, the public participation people say, think, and where the technical people are going.
And have one person from each group give their... to us, give us their overview of it?
Yeah, and I'm not sure the technical people are going to work as a group to offer the recommendation. They're doing technical scoring.
Mm-hmm. Which is valuable, and they need to see it to ask questions, too.
So one other question. You know, as they're running through and having other questions on this, do we make a list and send it to Al, and then, I mean, because maybe we missed something when we were going through here, or is, you know, is that the best procedure?
I think it is. I think as you come up with things that you, as you read further and read other proposals, you're going to say, oh, I should have asked that about the other one. And if you go back and can't find it, yeah, then send it to me and we'll try to get an answer, because the more you read, the more you're going to discover.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you. We'll see you on the 18th. Thanks.